keep your Bibles open to Colossians chapter 1. I'll meet you there in just a minute. Every life runs on a why. Everything we do is driven by something deeper. Something deeper than habit or routine. Everything we do is driven by a why. Why we get up. Why we keep going. Why we serve. Why we forgive. Why we endure. Why we hope. Lord willing, in 2026, this church family will do a lot of things. But beneath every sermon, beneath every ministry, beneath every act of service, there is a center. And that center is Jesus. Our theme for 2026 is Jesus is why. Thank you, Judd, for your help. Barracuda, by the way. That was our secret word so he would know when to go. Couldn't figure out a way to work it into my introduction. Jesus is why. He's why we do what we do. This is what I want us to study together throughout this year. It's not about a slogan. It's about a center, centering us in this truth, the truth of Jesus, of who Jesus is, the truth that Jesus is why we do what we do. So just a few observations from Colossians chapter 1, and then we'll make one observation from outside of this text. And then I want to tell you a little bit about what we have planned. In Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15, I learned that Jesus is why we exist. Jesus is why we exist. In verse 15, he says, he, referring to Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. And the word image there is kind of like a stamp. Whatever they do over there at the U.S. Mint, you know, and they're minting these pennies. Well, not anymore. And, you know, you got Abraham Lincoln on there, and they're stamping his image on there. And when you see that, you see him. You recognize who he is because you see his image there. And what Paul is saying here in Colossians 1, verse 15, is that when you see Jesus, you see someone who perfectly embodies the very nature of God. He is the image of the invisible God. He is, he goes on to say, the firstborn of all creation. That's kind of an interesting way of phrasing that. And it makes sense when we understand sort of the way that they would have used this term back then, the term that's translated firstborn. I get that at first blush, it sort of seems like what he's saying is Jesus is the first, almost like he was created first. But we know that that cannot be true because what he just said about Jesus, that when you see Jesus, you see the nature of God. You see someone in whom the very nature of God is fully and perfectly embodied. And see, part of what makes God God is that he has no beginning and no end. And you know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1, that forever back, however far you go, Jesus has always been existing before his incarnation, that is, before he came to earth, as the Word, according to John chapter 1. So we know that whatever Colossians 1:15 means, it cannot mean that Jesus is a created being. Otherwise, he cannot be the image of the invisible God. The term could denote priority in time, depending on how it's used, but it can also refer to supremacy in rank. And I think the context seems to tell us that that's what's going on here. Jesus is supreme. Jesus is over all. He reigns over the universe. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And now he's going to tell us why he's called this, why he is supreme over the universe. And I want to share with you four reasons from verses 16 and 17. And if you'll just kind of follow along, you'll see them there. Number one, he is called the firstborn, that is supreme over all creation, because he's the creator of all things. Verse 16, for by him, Jesus, all things were created. in heaven and on earth, visible to the human eye or invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him. See, Jesus is why we exist, because he created us. But he goes on. There's a second reason why Jesus is called preeminent. First, we said, because he's the creator of all. But second, because he's the owner and the ruler of all things. Look at the very end of verse 16. All things were created through him and for him. Jesus is why we exist, not merely because he created us, but also he gives us the purpose for which we live this life. It's all summarized in a word, and that word is Jesus. We were created by him, and we were created to do the things that he wants us to do. But there's a third reason. Verse 17 tells us that in addition to these two, Jesus is called preeminent because he has always existed before all things. Verse 17, he is before, this is in reference to time, that is, he's eternal. He's before all things. And here's the fourth one, he sustains all things. In him, all things hold together. Paul is describing Jesus. He says, when you see Jesus, you've seen God incarnate. You've seen manifestation of the very nature of God. And he is why you exist in the sense that he made you. And he is why you exist in the sense that he gives you purpose. And he is over everything that exists. And so it behooves us to realize that our full potential will only ever be realized when we try to live for him and in him. And he concludes it all by saying that Jesus is the one who's holding all things together. We are not self-created. And our existence here is not accidental. We don't start with what we do. We start with who he is. And that means that your life and mine is not about self-expression. It's about God glorification. It's about realizing that you will never achieve your true purpose until and unless you realize that you need to humble yourselves before him. He made you, and you exist by him and for him. So let me ask you, what would change if I really and truly believed that I exist for his purposes? To state it differently, what if I made Jesus my why? Number two, Paul tells us in Colossians 1, verse 18 and following that Jesus is why we're saved. Look at the way that he expresses this beautiful truth. This is a core gospel truth, right? But look at the way he expresses it in verse 18. He, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning. That is, I think he's talking about the source of new creation. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Look at what he's saying. All right, Jesus is over his people that he calls his body. And that's why everybody needs a head, right? And the head tells the body what to do. And that's what Jesus is doing. See, we were created by him and for him. And now in a spiritual sense, not just in the physical creation did he make it all, but now he is this one who is the beginning of it all. Jesus says, I've come that they might have life and that they might have life more abundantly, implying that in addition to making it possible for you and me to physically be alive, Jesus offers us something else. Jesus offers us something better than even this physical life can bring, especially living in a fallen world. I want you to have an abundant life. And so Jesus is called in Colossians chapter 1, the beginning of that, the source, the genesis, if you will, of a new birth, of the new creation. and he is the firstborn from the dead. That's referring to his resurrection. And showing us in a beautiful way that Jesus, he's no longer among the dead. He came forth from the dead. His tomb unoccupied, at least no longer by him. He lives. See, the cross is not just a historical event. It's our rescue. And that victory that he has secured for his people at the cross and through his resurrection makes it such that Paul can say at the end of verse 18, he is preeminent because all the fullness of God is in him, and he is equal to the task of our salvation. Through him, verse 20, God reconciles, restores an originally harmonious relationship that's now been lost. All right, God is bringing us back together to God, making peace by the blood of his cross. We're not here because we're good people. We're here because we have a good Savior. He makes us good. He is why. So ask yourself, do I obey him out of love for him? Or is it guilt, fear, or habit that drives me to him? I guess I'm asking, is he really he? Is he your why? Not fear of what he may do to you one day if you don't follow him. Not guilt for what you did that sent him to the cross. I think all of these things can be productive, but ultimately it's supposed to lead me to him, where he becomes my why. I don't come here, I don't serve him because I'm trying to be a good person on my own. I come here and I serve him because he is the be-all and end-all. He made me, and I'm living for him. He is the one who's the beginning of this new life that I now enjoy. And because he lives, I know that I get to live. Jesus is why. When was the last time that you were deeply moved by what Jesus has done for you? Maybe you need to spend some additional time this year at the cross, opening up to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Psalm 22, Isaiah 53. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 29, as Matt read for us before the Lord's Supper. Maybe you need to pore over these and other passages that show us the beauty of what Jesus has done. Open up to Revelation 4 and 5 and read about that lamb that bears the marks of excruciating pain, but who in the presence of the angelic host is praised. Worthy is the lamb. Maybe if you're struggling to make Jesus your why, it's because you're not connecting with him like you need to. This year, let's live by this truth. Jesus is why. But there's one more thing I want to mention to you before I share some plans with you, and that is that Jesus is why we keep going. Jesus is why we endure. And for this point, I want to take you to two passages that's outside of Colossians chapter 1. But that really hammer this point home. The first is in Hebrews 12, verse 2, which says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and today is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see what he said? Look to Jesus. If you're having trouble enduring, keeping going, and that's what's going on with the individuals to whom this writer is penning this letter in Hebrews. They're people whose knees are weak, whose hands are hanging down. They're being tempted to depart from Jesus. And in chapter 12, as he sort of begins the conclusion, he says, keep your eyes focused on him. He is why we keep going. He is why we endure. It's not because your family member will get on to you if you don't show up. It's not because you don't want the elders to call your name from the pulpit if you stay away for too long. It's not because you think that, you know, after a while that people won't think you're a good person anymore. It's not because you need to keep your job at a certain Christian university. The reason why we endure is because of Him. Look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of your faith. And so listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. After he says in verse 57, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, because of this victory that you have in Jesus, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Keep going. Keep enduring because of Him. Life is hard. Serving is tiring. Faithfulness can sometimes be costly. But Jesus is worth it, isn't He? Jesus is worth it. He's still reigning. He's still working. And we don't endure because we're strong, but because He is faithful. And so ask yourself this, what would it look like for me to fix my eyes on Jesus in my struggles? How can I take this point of friction and turn it into something that helps me even more to fix my eyes on Him? Jesus is why. Jesus is why. We've been working hard to develop this theme. It's not just me, it's a whole team of people. And that's why I'm excited that today we get to share this with you. I feel like I've been living in 2026 for, well, I guess it's September. I almost have been writing it on paperwork and stuff, checks and things. Y'all still write checks? I write it for church. But anyway, that's a different story. Today, we get to share with all of you our 2026 booklet. Some of you have been asking if we were going to have one of these, and these are available. In fact, as you exit back in the back, we have them all set up on tables. And what you'll find in here is not only a listing of the sermons that we have planned for this theme, but also a good bit of information about various ministries that we have, important dates for which you may want to mark your calendar, some things about various groups that meet, and you even have pictures of all of the elders and all the ministers for something to doodle on sometime. So those are all there, including everybody's contact information. I know many of you mentioned that this was helpful last year. We've tried to make it even more helpful this year. If you find a mistake in it, just don't tell us, okay? We've tried to edit it very, very carefully. And anyway, maybe you won't see the things that I see in there. In addition to that, though, 2 years ago, we had a shirt. Remember, I Love His Church? And we wore those to many events. And several people got together and they said, perhaps it's time for a new shirt. And so this year, we also have new shirts. On the front, it says, Jesus is why. And then on the back, we have a series of questions that are all answered at the bottom. Why do I serve? Why do I hope? Why do I have joy? Why am I thankful? Why do I keep going? Well, Jesus is why. Imagine the conversations that could come up for Jesus as we wear these out and about. And then imagine what happens. You know, in the past, it's been a sea of blue because they were blue shirts. Well, imagine what's going to happen when a sea of, would we call this green? You ladies can correct me later. But when a sea of greenish shirts, the company calls this Heather Military Green. So if that means something to you, I'm grateful for you. When a sea of these green shirts show up at the park, or when they show up at the barbecue festival, or at the community car care day, all those things, you'll be hearing about a lot of them this evening when our elders present the report for this year. We have one for every member of this congregation, from the smallest to the not-so-smallest of us. Bill sent an email out some time ago asking for your shirt sizes. You probably sniffed us out at that point, what we were doing. And actually, you can pick yours up today. They are alphabetized, and they are on tables in the lobby just as you exit here. You don't have to go far. Some of our elders, as well as Bill Wade, will be there. And you can go up and grab your shirt. And also on those tables is where you'll find the booklets. And so those are ready for you to pick up today. If you don't pick it up today, that's okay. They'll still be here for a little while as well. You may have noticed that there's a QR code on the shirt. And for those who are not technically savvy, what that means is you take your smartphone and you turn it on the camera and you point it at that weird squiggly looking thing and it pops up a link. And when you tap that link, it takes you to this website, which you can also access by going to hendersoncoc.com/JesusIsWhy. And right now, we just have a little general information about what it is that we're doing. But very soon, I'd like to ask for your help again in recording a video that we can place there. I think it would be cool if our friends and neighbors around town see that and scan it. You know, they may be behind you in Cash Saver or something, and they snap that, and you don't even know that they did it. But then it comes up to this website, and they see our faces. And it's just all of us saying, Jesus is why blank. Just one sentence. Wouldn't that be neat? But if you scroll down, we also have some wallpaper for your phone. And so if you would like to keep this message right close to you, how many times do you pick up your phone every day? Don't answer that. It's depressing. But you can see this graphic, Jesus is why, right on your home screen or wherever you choose to put it. Maybe that'll help us to make Jesus the center of everything we do and everything we are. But you know, we've also throughout the past several years had a major focus on local evangelism. And while that's not the full extent of this church's great work, we understand that we have a commission to fulfill, not just abroad, but also right here at our doorstep. And you may have observed that this is a great message for our friends and neighbors who are not yet Christians. Jesus is why. He's my why. And I want him to be your why as well. And that's the reason why today we're launching a brand new campaign. We're calling it One More, the One More campaign. And here's the thought. Who's your one more? Don't think about the whole world. Don't think about all of Chester County. We all know a lot of people, but let's start with one. Let's not be overwhelmed. Let's start with one. Who is one person that you know who needs Jesus that you can make it your aim to engage for Jesus? Jesus is why. He's why you work through the uncomfortable conversation that it may have. He's why you're willing to step out of your comfort zone. He's why you know that they need this message of the gospel. And so one more for Jesus. You'll see banners about this as you leave. And you'll also see it in the booklet. And we'll be talking about this a whole lot. In fact, similar to Neighbor Days in the past, we're going to have four times throughout this year, the Lord willing, where we'll have what we call a One More Weekend. And that's where you invite your one more to come and be with you on a Sunday. March, June, September, and December. Now, those aren't the only times that we'd like for you to invite your one more. Please invite them anytime. Next Sunday's a great time to start, or even tonight. But these are going to be concerted efforts. And see, what we're doing is we're building ourselves in a little time, because between now and March 15th, which Lord willing is our first one, we're going to be equipping ourselves to reach out to our one more. We're starting a Monday evening evangelism class that will help us to become personal evangelists. Do you feel like you struggle to reach out to your neighbors and your friends? Well, the purpose of the church leaders is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, Ephesians 4:11 and 12. So beginning Monday evening, February 9th, and meeting each Monday through May the 11th at 6:30 in the fellowship hall, we're going to have a one more evangelism class. And we're going to share stories, and we're going to pray for each other's one more. And we're going to present some principles of soul winning. And then we're going to look at a wide array of tools that you can put in your toolbox. Because we understand that a screwdriver is a great tool if you're trying to drive a screw. But it's not a great tool when maybe you need a hammer, or maybe you need a saw, or maybe you need something else. And so we need a bunch of tools in our toolboxes, because not everyone is beginning at the same point. There are some who don't believe in God. There are some who have a background in Christendom, but maybe they don't understand everything. There are some people who are really close to baptism, but they just need to be encouraged. And these are different tools in our toolbox that will all lead them to the same gospel. That's what the One More Evangelism class is all about. And we have a website, hendersoncoc.com/onemore. And we're going to put resources here online so that everyone can participate and can grow and be equipped as we all strive to identify and to engage our one more for Jesus. You probably can't read it. In fact, I barely can, and I'm standing right here. But there's a blue button near the bottom of the screenshot that we've got there, and it says, "May we pray for your one more?" And if you click on that, it takes you to this form. And the church leaders are the only ones who are really going to see this. But this is an opportunity for you to tell us whatever you want to tell us about the person that you want to reach for Jesus. You might tell us their first name. Or you might say Robert's friend or Robert's coworker or Robert's family member. You put your name so that we can reach out with you to you. And then you put, "How may we pray for or support you as you reach out to your one more?" Share as much or as little as you'd like. And see, what this does is it helps you know you're not doing this alone. You're not all by yourself. We're not telling you, "Hey, here's the Great Commission. Now go get after it." If it were that simple, then we would all be better evangelists, would we not? Everybody knows the Great Commission. So we need to be equipped. And there's no harm in saying, "I just need to be equipped." So we're going to learn from each other, and we're going to pray for each other. And that's what this One More campaign is all about. And then there's one more thing that I'm pretty excited about, and you'll hear a little more about all these things later. In March, we're adding a special emphasis day. You know, we have Youth Emphasis Day, and we have University Emphasis Day and Missions Emphasis Day, but in March, we're adding Soul Focus Sunday. And this is a special day that is all about local, personal evangelism. And we have some very special guest speakers who are going to be here. Some from our own congregation. Sunday morning during Bible class, we're going to have a conversation with several individuals who are involved in soul winning. Matt Wallace is going to be teaching our youth group class on that day. And then on Sunday evening at 4 and 5 o'clock, we'll have a series of classes. In fact, there will be three, and then at 5, four classes that are all running at the same time. You can choose which one you want to attend at 4 and which one you want to attend at 5. And we've got some of our friends and Bible professors from across the street at Fried Hardeman who are going to come and share very practical, down-to-earth, inspiring messages about winning souls. Josh Ketchum, new president of FHU, Dr. Keith Harris, Matt Cook will be here, and also Amanda Ketchum will be here to teach the ladies, and you're stuck with me for the sermon that morning, okay, at 10 o'clock. And we're looking forward to Soul Focus Sunday, Sunday, March 8th, 9, 10, 4, and 5 on that day. We also understand that this time of year, we want to get more into the Word. And even though it's January 4th, it's not too late for you to begin. There's any number of plans that you could use to read through Scripture. You don't have to read Genesis to Revelation in a year. You might want to focus, as I said earlier, just on the gospel accounts and look at Jesus and draw closer to Him. You may want to look at the Psalms. You may want to start somewhere and then see where you want to go. But here's an option for you, and some of you have already gotten it. It's the chronological Bible reading plan for 1 year. And we have some of these available at the Welcome Center. And you can get the entire year all at once in one little folded over piece of paper. It's got check marks. It's dated. But if you start today in Genesis 1, that's okay too. You can still check it off. And you can finish maybe next year about this time. And you will still have gone through the whole Bible chronologically. Those are some of the plans that we have in the works as we near as we go through this year. Jesus is why. When we serve, Jesus is why. We're going to get together for Car Care Day, Lord willing. We're going to have another community Bible study out at Gene Record Park. We're going to get together for special services of worship, like our parking lot singing, or opportunities we can host a good number of people, like Making Music Sunday or Lectureship Sunday. And when we get together, we're going to keep our focus of Jesus. He's why we do what we do. When we forgive others, Jesus is why. When we invite, when we give, when we sacrifice, when we persevere, Jesus is why. When we fall and we repent, Jesus is why we know that we'll be accepted back. When we hope, Jesus is why. Not tradition, not convenience, not preference, not fear, not culture, not even each other. Why we do what we do is because of Him. He's why we exist. He's why we're saved. He's why we endure. Jesus is why. Is Jesus truly the reason behind what I'm doing? Is He your motivation for what you do? Or has He become the background instead of the center? Have you focused so much on routines and ruts that you've sort of neglected the motivation behind it all? Maybe it's been a while since you've been moved by the message of the gospel. Since you've really connected your heart with the heart of God, who through the cross reaches to you and says, I love you. I want you. 2026, Lord willing, will be a year where we consciously, joyfully, intentionally live from this truth. Jesus is why. We're going to challenge each other as a congregation as we go. But perhaps this message is challenging your heart right now. What better way to kick off this new year than by coming to Jesus and saying, Lord, I'm coming home. Maybe you're coming for the first time, ready to put Him on in baptism based on your faith in Him, your willingness to turn away from sin, to confess His name and to die with Him and to rise to walk in a brand new life for Him. We'd love to assist you in baptism today. Maybe you need to come confessing sin as a Christian and asking to be restored and forgiven. Why we do what we do is not because we feel guilted into it by our peers. It's not so other people will look at us and think, boy, that's a great person. It's not so that we have leverage so that we can look at somebody else and say, see, I did that. Now you've got to forgive me too. It's because of Him. And I assure you, He wants you to come to Him. So come if you need to while we stand and sing.